4 o'clock, the Premier of the Western Cape, Alan Windy, on the line to us now. Hello, Alan.
Hi, John.
Are we going to have the Sevens tournament over the weekend?
Yes, we better. Yeah, it was one of the points raised today in the disaster management meeting that we had to check out our readiness. We already ring-fence our school marking for the matric results to make sure that we get load shed so that those systems don't go down. So I think it was a good request. We have already had a subsequent meeting with the city, and there have been a number of requests from different business entities, and they are busy evaluating it at the moment, but I'm pretty certain that that's the one that is going to be at the top of the pile.
I mean, I very much doubt that they have a generator big enough to power all the lights that you need, particularly when, and cheap as their public address system can be loud. So there's a lot of wattage going in there. So it would be a case of exempting the area from load shedding.
Correct. So should we still be in whatever stage load shedding on Friday, Saturday and Sunday, then that request will be saying to the city, don't turn off this area during the hours of the Sevens operation.
And some of the other things that you addressed at that news conference, healthcare facilities, does every healthcare facility, whether it's a day clinic or a tertiary teaching hospital, have the necessary backup power to keep operating at 100%?
So there were a couple of shortfalls in areas where perhaps we didn't have sufficient diesel or that the systems were tested, but it sounds like the health department were pretty on top of things. In actual fact, all of Public Works were reporting that they'd run their tests on their diesel systems, making sure that they had sufficient top up. The same thing with SAPs at their police stations. They also had some special deliveries being done. I know that an extra tanker of diesel was deployed out towards Paul today. So really it was just me asking all of our departments and relevant other government departments in disaster management. You know, it was a shock moving to level six, just double checking that we were all ready for that. Were there any hiccups? Where they were? Are we fixing it? And that's the sort of extra diesel deployment. The other big issue for me is that when we move to longer term shutdowns, then we are seeing some of our pump stations, both water and sewage. I think that was what was happening over the weekend around water in the Karoo, and a really great donation that we received from Coca-Cola. Three big tankers, they will be available today. They've gone through the sterilization process, and they said you can use them for delivering water. So they're 33,000 liter tankers, three of them. So really great to see everybody stepping up. I say that this is not we've done this before. In actual fact, it's quite interesting how we deal with load schedule four. It was a bit tight going to six, but everybody goes back to four and seems to be able to deal with it again, because this is something that's going to be with us for a while, I think.
And Alan, in terms of emergency services, we are having a conversation in about half an hour's time about cell phone towers and keeping them operational. And I know that particularly Vodacom customers are complaining quite bitterly about how quickly they lose the ability to use their phones. And I know trying to talk to people on cell phones as part of the afternoon program, there's some lines we just can't use because the cell phone towers are pushing out so little signal. Have you picked up any sense of people wanting to report emergencies not being able to do so because the connectivity is not there?
Yeah, I think I was experiencing it myself last night. I mean, at one stage I was speaking to someone where I had to go out, get in my car to charge the phone and then move to an area that was more receptive because I wasn't getting proper connectivity. And when I contacted the person, he was also sitting in his car charging his phone. It bothered me. I'm not sure exactly what the answer is, and it was one of the issues that disaster management are taking up. They're doing the follow-ups, like speaking to the diesel companies. Do we have sufficient flow? How many days? And exactly the same thing. I think it's something that I can hear myself when the alarm systems go off because load shedding either kicks in or goes off. You can hear across the suburb where I'm in Claremont, you can hear all the battery systems that are not up to scratch pop the alarms all the time. So I presume it's the same thing in our cell phone towers. I know that in the city, part of the discussion was that there are a couple of our traffic lights in some of the main intersections where those battery systems need to be double-checked. So definitely communications are a big thing. We have disaster plans for all sorts of eventualities, and, of course, one of the main ones that is front of mind is, you know, should we go to Schedule 8 or should we go to a shutdown or a blackout? What happens? And you can see this, it's already pre-planned. This is what happens on day one, on day two, on day three. But it was evident yesterday that communications, you know, you think it might last for a day, but in 2 and 3 hours it was starting to go down. And those are the worrying things. Are we on top of our game? And those are the kind of conversations that we're also having via the disaster management team.
And more broadly than that, one hopes that there will be more urgent conversations about more quickly licensing independent power producer applications. Not the huge ones, but some of the smaller ones, the post 10 megawatt ones. Apparently, Guedimantashe has got 17 Section 34 applications for private generation and purchase of electricity on his desk. And one hopes that, you know, that cliche of not wasting a crisis, Alan, one hopes that this does generate some degree of urgency about that.
So my information now is that number of 17 has gone up to 34, and I believe it would go even higher very quickly. And of course, this to me, you know, the idea of allowing an easier entry into the system, you know, some people might see it from a national point of view as maybe risky, but quite frankly, if we want to mitigate the risk right now, it is the quickest way to get it going, because we know that it takes years and years and years to put big plants in place, and then also some of those big plants are not operating. So how do we diversify? And I think that is the real critical issue. It's what I'm asking the president at the moment. I've actually asked him. I think he should convene Minister Mantashe, Minister Cordon himself, the premiers and the mayors of the metros, and let's have this discussion. You know, even these smaller plants of 10 megawatts, you know, they don't happen immediately. They will take months. But months are better than years, and we know we need to mitigate, and we need to make these decisions now so that in 3 months' time, we can actually start delivering on the start of these processes. So there's no time now, and exactly as you say, use the opportunity it is presenting itself.
Alan Whitney, the Premier of the Western Cape, thanks as always.